Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On. That's Andrew Hahn. Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast. Quiet now, Andrew, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, DJ Foster. That's Andrew Hahn doing his memorial interrupt the intro. Andrew, how are you? It's been a long time since I've talked to you.
How many Locked On Clippers podcast do you think, wait, not Locked On Clippers pod, how many Locked On podcasts do you think you can name?
All of them.
Can you name all of them?
I can. I'm not going to, but I can. We got every NFL team now. We got every NBA team. We got fantasy for NBA. We got fantasy for NFL. Yeah, since the last time you came on the show, we're big time now.
Wait, you do every NFL team?
I don't do every NFL team.
Oh.
You thought I do all the Locked On podcasts?
Do you not?
I don't. That would keep me busy, I must say.
You'd be the hardest working man in podcasts.
I would be. That is a title that no one has yet to claim yet, I think. I think we might have to give that to David Locke, who's the actual head
of
the Locked On Podcast Network.
Can I just say that I'm the hardest working man in podcasts?
Not sure. Don't think we can give that to you quite
what
yet.
What if I just said that I am?
I mean,
someone going to dispute me? Is David Locke going to fight me over it?
He would fight you on the streets. He was just in L.A. too, so he may know what you look like. He might have you all scouted out.
Here's a bit of a surprise coming your way.
Okay.
I'm Asian.
Are you?
I'm Asian.
Whoa.
And we all look the same.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
I'm gonna take a quick tangent here and say,
okay,
hey, Asian people that like to criticize not Asian people for not being able to distinguish our ethnic backgrounds, our heritage, we don't do such a great job about that either.
I wonder if this is an okay thing to have on the podcast right now.
Is it not?
I can provide
a very specific example where it's just not great.
You just got back from Bangkok.
So, yeah, I had a layover in Taipei, and everyone in Taipei was trying to speak to me in Chinese. And I said, I don't speak Chinese. I don't speak Mandarin. And they said, oh, you look Chinese, but you don't speak any Mandarin. I'm like, nope. They're like, okay. And then I went to Thailand, and everyone was trying to speak to me in Thai. And I said, I don't speak Thai. And they said, oh, but you look Thai, but you don't speak any Thai. It's like, I don't speak Thai. And then I went to Korea, and everyone tried to speak to me in Korean. And I said, I don't speak Korean. And they're like, oh, but you look Korean. Well, I am Korean, but I don't speak any Korean.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
And then I was in Japan, and everyone was trying to speak to me in Japanese. And I said, I don't speak Japanese. And they said, but you look Japanese. And it's like, apparently I look like everything.
You do look like everything, though, to be fair.
So I'm just saying that we don't do that great a job either.
I like that your travels are just disappointing people from all around the world.
Well, you know, I run out of people to disappoint at home, and then I have to go abroad.
You gotta go find them abroad. All right, let's get started here. Before you get me into too much more trouble,
that that even, is it controversial? Is that going to get cut?
I don't know. No, it's definitely not going to get cut, because that would involve me doing work.
Should it get cut? Should we cut it?
I mean, probably. We're going to let it go, though.
What if I asked you to cut it, but you just, like, clipped it to this point where you said, welcome to the Locked on Clippers podcast. Here's my guest, Andrew Hahn. And I said, should we cut that?
You would then lose your title as the king of podcasts.
But you told me that I don't have it.
The king of podcasts don't make those kind of mistakes.
All right.
We're good. All right, you ready? You ready to do this?
What are we doing?
We're playing best and worst matchups for the Clippers in the playoffs. The regular season is almost here. We're just going to fast forward. And look at playoff
Straight
matchups.
To the playoffs.
Yeah.
Which is great because I'm ready to be finished with the regular season already.
Sure. Let's just skip all 82 and we'll just get right to the playoffs.
Yeah. Let's do it.
You know when you play like video game franchise mode and you just like simulate?
Yes.
We're just simulating everything. We'll pop up for a few trade offers and we're just going straight to the playoffs.
You know the problem with simulating the regular season is what ends up happening is my team loses games that I don't think they should lose.
Mm.
And then I have to go back and replay those games.
you're like, no, we can't lose a home game to Phoenix.
Yeah, it's like, what is this?
In February? That's not right.
PlayStation, you're drunk. What are you doing losing this game?
And you got to correct it. I like that. I like that you're watching every game with close eyes and accepting no failure. Playoff matchups for the Clippers. So the way we're doing this is I broke it down kind of by team. I'm going to give you two teams and I'm going to ask you to pick the worst matchup for the Clippers out of those two teams.
Wait, the team that would be
the worst
for the Clippers to beat.
The team that would be the worst matchup for the Clippers that they would have the hardest time beating.
Okay.
Okay. So first round, the Dallas Mavericks. Or the Minnesota Timberwolves. What's a worse matchup for the Clippers?
Ooh, that is an interesting set of opponents that you've set up. Am I supposed to talk this out, or do you just want the answer?
No, talk it out.
Because with the Dallas Mavericks, you have the corpse of Dirk Nowitzki, who can probably get you, 14 points a game?
Mm-hmm.
And really, the issue there is that they have Rick Carlisle, who I've been on record as saying is the best in-game coach in the league now, usurping Popovich maybe one or two seasons ago. And when you have a coach of that caliber, that's always frightening to have to play against that.
Sure.
Meanwhile, and I guess Dallas just has so much accumulated experience.
Right.
In the playoffs.
A lot of veterans.
Meanwhile, you have the Minnesota Timberwolves who, boy, they coming. They are coming. Karl Anthony Towns, I have said, might be the second most valuable player in the league.
Yep, the rich man's diamond stone.
The rich man's diamond stone. The super rich man. the one percenter's diamond stone. And
they got Tibbs there now.
They have Tom Thibodeau there. Ricky Rubio, who I feel like is grossly underrated at this point.
Yep, agreed.
And Zach LaVine. They have Andrew Wiggins, who I'm not on this Andrew Wiggins wagon where people seem to think he's going to be a de facto star in the league.
You had a very hot take about Wiggins two nights ago that I want you to repeat.
All right. Oh,
come on, man.
It's an irresponsible hot take. I want everyone to be clear about this.
Yeah, those are the best ones.
But I said that I might prefer Rodney Hood over Andrew Wiggins.
Man.
I'll say this though: when I tweeted it, I thought I was going to be roundly ridiculed. Like people would just laugh. It's such an insane comment.
Yeah,
you can't even be upset by it.
Right.
But there was actually a pretty wide range of responses of people saying that they agree, or people saying that they don't agree, but they certainly understand the point.
People really like Rodney Hood.
Or that it's a lot closer than people seem to think. And then, of course, the usual, you're drunk, go home.
I'm glad you're not the GM of any teams.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
You always get a couple of those. I do think it's a little closer than most people think. I'm going to be that guy who says that about Hood and Wiggins. But there's... Wiggins is already better, and there's no reason to think why. There's no reason to think he won't continue to be better than Hood.
You know what it is for me. Hood is a.
Is it the shooting, the rebounding? What?
It's the shooting, and he's a more skilled player presently.
Mm-hmm.
Wiggins is definitely a better defender, and he's just an insane athlete.
Yeah, he's unreal.
Yeah, I just don't know if the rest of that game, the refinement, ever develops to the point where he can be the, what, second best player on a team, on a title team?
Yeah.
Whereas Rodney Hood, I know exactly what he's going to be, and that's going to be a pretty good player. It's reminiscent of another hot take that I, a supposed hot take I had maybe 3 or 4 seasons ago, where I felt like Serge Ibaka would be a better fit for most teams than LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that LaMarcus Aldridge isn't good, or that he isn't a gifted shooter, but...
Or that Serge Ibaka is a better player, necessarily.
Right.
Yeah.
So, it's just one of those kind of things. It's a comparison that requires a lot more nuance than social media will allow for.
Yep, Hood is right now, I think, a better role player than Andrew Wiggins, but Andrew Wiggins is a way better star. Does that make any sense?
Well, could be a way better star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so anyways, back to it. So Dallas or Minnesota? Yeah.
So the issue here is that the question is the Timberwolves are incredibly young, mm-hmm. and they have a very good coach now. They're possibly upgrading from one of the worst coaches in the league in Sam Mitchell last year. So the question becomes, is this young team already good enough to leverage their immense talent?
Yeah, to put a scare into some of the heavy hitters, right?
Right, but I mean, you and I have been around the league. We've seen enough of these kind of teams to know that, I mean, the Clippers were like this not too long ago, where they will put the hurt on teams early,
yeah.
and then cough up that entire, like, they will go up double digits in the first half, cough it all up in the second half, and lose a bunch of close games.
Yep.
That first year, that year where you're like, oh, they can make some noise, and that's the issue.
Yeah, I do think there's going to be some growing pains there, just with their lack of experience, like you said. But in this matchup, Dallas, I can't imagine a scenario where Dallas can stop the Clippers, where they can defend the Clippers and stop them from, you know, just rattling off 105, 110 points every game in the series.
I agree. I think that Minnesota would be the tougher matchup.
Right.
Because they also have nothing to lose, and they will not tire from the moment.
And Minnesota is just kind of a terrible matchup in terms of personnel in some ways, because Karl Anthony Towns can hang with Blake Griffin.
Yes.
But more importantly, who the hell is going to guard Andrew Wiggins on the Clippers? Right?
I mean, here's a question: who needs to guard Andrew Wiggins on the Clippers? I think that LaVine would actually pose the bigger threat, because LaVine has more
all that athleticism. You can throw Wiggins onto Paul,
yeah,
and that's a tough one for Chris Paul to deal with.
Throw Wiggins onto Paul. Rubio is a perfectly capable defender.
That's true. And then you got Rubio, right, who is one of the better point guard defenders in the league. They got some good bench bigs. You got Gorgui Dieng.
Yeah.
Can come like in, Jen. And, yeah. you know, that's It's a lot closer than you would think for a team that, look, Minnesota, they're not a lock to make the playoffs, but they're a dangerous team if they get in. So I'm going to say Minnesota's the worst matchup. You good with that?
I'm in complete agreement. I've heard some hot takes in the media to the point where like more than one person now has said that they're going to pick Minnesota to win the Northwest Division, which has the Trailblazers and the Thunder in it.
Wow.
And the Jazz, like that is a good division.
Yeah, and they're not finishing with a better record than the Jazz.
They're not going to win it, but I respect the take because everyone is on the Wolves bandwagon. Everyone knows that they're going to be good.
Yeah.
So how do you turn that into a hot take? You got to be on there a year early.
They're a team to me too, and we'll move on after this. But they're a team to me too that I can absolutely see them missing the playoffs, like the Pelicans. Like when everyone thought Anthony Davis alone was going to just kind of carry the Pelicans to the playoffs and it didn't happen. I could see them missing the playoffs, but if they get into the playoffs, I think they're a team nobody wants to play. Yeah, nobody wants to play.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so next matchup. Here's kind of a kooky one. You got a little bit of polar opposites at work here. The Memphis Grizzlies or the Houston Rockets? Who are the worst matchup for the Clippers?
Memphis Grizzlies or the Houston Rockets.
Now, David Locke came. We did a crossover podcast probably about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. He thinks Memphis isn't going to make the playoffs this year.
I mean, it's plausible.
It's plausible. I'm going to leave them in for now. Houston's another team that's kind of right on the borderline of making it, or maybe they're out as well. So Memphis or Houston?
I am going to say...
It's tough, isn't it?
I'm going to say that... Well, see... Memphis is a familiar foe.
Right.
And despite the fact that they added Chandler Parsons, they're still kind of lacking in overall shooting. They're a very old team.
They're very old. Now, Tony Allen isn't the stopper that he once was.
Right.
You got Z-Bo, who's, you know, falling apart. It's basically the same team the Clippers have played in the playoffs with Parsons, who's injury prone, who you can't really trust, and then a really weird bench of guys that can you trust these guys to come onto the floor and hold a lead for you.
Right. I like Fizdale in concept, but we don't know what quality of a coach he actually is yet.
Sure, and Dave Yeager, I think most people would agree, is a really good coach.
Right. So I do think that Memphis is the easier of the two because Houston, you're really playing a low floor, high ceiling game with them.
And we've seen a Clippers Houston matchup with some of those ceiling guys, the Corey Brewers of the world, right?
Right. That just have the ability to explode for a series, and you know, even if we're all projecting Houston to have a high-powered offense, they could put up, you know, maybe average 140 a game for a series just with everything clicking. And the one concern I've seen with the Clippers so far in the preseason is Doc talks a lot about how they're kind of revamping the offense and slowly installing new facets, new sets, new components to it. Their offense has not looked great in the preseason.
Yeah, it hasn't. It's looked a little sluggish.
A little sluggish. It's a problem if you're going to play such a high-octane opponent where even if you play great defense, you're only slowing them down so much, so you need to score somewhat to compete. And at the moment, the Clippers don't have a great handle on that.
I think the Clippers would sweep Memphis in a series. I don't think they pose any real threat. They just match up really poorly, and while they can kind of muck up games a little bit, I just think their time is kind of past. I think their window closed, where the Clippers are maybe they're not better than they were 2 years ago, but they should be. They haven't suffered as much as a downturn as I think the Grizzlies will. The Rockets, like you said, they could steal a couple games pretty easily. James Harden goes for 40. He always seems to struggle against the Clippers, but James Harden goes for 40. Ryan Anderson gets hot. Eric Gordon gets hot. I mean, they got a lot of shooters, a lot of, you know, high variance guys, but they're a team that could at least give the Clippers a series where I just don't see any plausible scenario where Memphis beats the Clippers in four games.
You know why Harden struggles against the Clippers, right?
What? JJ?
Noted Harden stopper, JJ Redick.
That's right.
It's, you know, what, like starting 3 years ago, I started calling him the Harden Whisperer. JJ Redick is obviously not a hyper-athletic individual. He's not a lockdown defender. But he's a very disciplined defender.
Yes.
And a lot of Harden's game is predicated on guys trying to reach out and strip the ball or mm-hmm. get tangled up as he sticks that ball in front of him and Euro steps all over the place. And Harden basically just moves – I'm not Harden. Redick basically just moves to a spot and tries to stay chest-to-chest with Harden. And that provides him very little room. There's not a lot of anticipating going on. It's kind of like – if Harden had one hyper-athletic first step to just completely go by Redick, as players are wont to do in the league,
sure.
that would be the end of the story. But Harden has a lot of herky-jerky movement built into it.
Right.
And so all of that is superfluous movement in front of Redick. Like, Harden wants to go left and then go right and then Eurostep a couple places and Redick is just going to stay exactly where he is.
Right. I'm going to stay in the middle of these Eurosteps and crazy moves. Yeah, I think Harden really, he really kind of preys on defenders that like to gamble. Like,
right.
If you put a guy on Harden.
Leverage the aggressiveness of a defender against him, which.
Exactly. And JJ is not a guy who's going to dive for steals and, you know, do all this crazy stuff and get caught out of position. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, next matchup. You ready? So we're both going Houston?
Houston.
Okay. Next matchup. Oklahoma City, sans Durant, or last year's playoff foe, the Portland Trailblazers? Who is the worst matchup, OKC or Portland?
OKC or Portland. Okay, so let's start with Portland here, who I believe I'm the only person that picked them to make the playoffs last year.
How many times on this podcast are you going to mention that?
Every time. I get so few things right that when I do, I need to really hammer it home.
Yeah, that's fair.
I like Portland's shooting, and I felt like Myers Leonard himself is not an important player, but he was kind of important to what the Blazers did as a big man that is capable of shooting threes.
Mm-hmm.
And his injury hurt the Blazers more than people probably give it credit for. So he would be back healthy this year. I like their roster composition. But then again, if Azili, who tends to be injury prone, is hurt, there's not really anyone that can adequately guard Blake or DeAndre.
Yeah.
And you have to live with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, who are not the greatest backcourt defenders. It's really just trying to hedge against them catching fire and scoring a lot of threes versus who's the other side of this coin?
OKC.
OKC versus Westbrook. The revenge of Russell Westbrook.
Right.
Trying to take his unrequited love, that anger out on everyone.
Just going John Wick on everybody.
Yeah, and then you have Steven Adams there, who is blossoming into pretty capable big man.
Absolutely.
Oladipo and Roberson are basically your rangy wing defenders. Oladipo can maybe like create a little bit. And then you have the Enes Kanter and Sabonis as your secondary or third option offensive players.
Mm-hmm.
But then Billy Donovan is kind of a question mark as a coach, whereas you know exactly what Terry Stotts is.
Right. He'll be tested this year for sure with no Durant. They're going to have to get way more creative scheming.
Right.
This is a tough one, isn't it?
It's a tough one.
This is the hardest one we've had so far, I think.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think either of them are particularly difficult matchups for the Clippers, but
yeah.
I do think that they're about the same amount of annoyance. Like, I think the Clippers would beat both of them relatively handily,
I
but
agree.
there would be some annoying aspects to those series
Like
for the Clippers.
Steven Adams beating up Blake or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Or just like, Westbrook mauling the entire interior defense of the Clippers, things like that.
Sure.
I believe.
This is
Wow,
tough. I know. It's
it's
tough.
weird for me to say this because I don't think Portland can defend Blake or DeAndre, but I think they'd be the slightly tougher matchup
Okay.
between.
I think we have our first split. I'm actually going to go with OKC here.
Okay, I think that's reasonable.
For no other real reason than Russell Westbrook being crazy unstoppable when his jumper's going. And they have a lot of size too, where I think, they can kind of contend with the Clippers and limit the damage that Blake and DeAndre can do inside. So I'm gonna go with OKC. Portland to me, it still felt a little fluky. And maybe that's not fair, and they got some good wing scores, and Lillard and McCollum are gonna get buckets, and I understand there's some tough matchups for the Clippers, but I just don't really trust their front court to outplay the Clippers front court in any game. Whereas I can see OKC's front court giving LAC's front court a tougher time. Does that make any sense?
Oh yeah, that makes total sense. I think the Blazers would not have felt as fluky if the Clippers stayed healthy, because the Clippers, if healthy, would have probably swept or defeated the Blazers 4-1 last playoffs.
You would think so, yeah.
And then you would say, "Oh, okay, there was this scrappy Blazers team that won like 44 games and made the playoffs, and that was completely unexpected, and that was nice, and you everyone would have proper expectations of them." But then the Blazers went ahead and beat a decimated Clippers squad and took a game from the Warriors, and now there's like, oh wow, they made it to the second round and did, like they beat a team in the playoffs, and
Right.
expectations are unnecessarily high for them.
Right. I think yeah, you got to pump the brakes on a little bit. Okay, so far we both picked Minnesota over Dallas as being a tougher matchup for the Clippers. We then both picked Houston over Memphis. You picked Portland as a tougher matchup for the Clippers. I picked OKC as a tougher matchup.
I will say this
Yeah.
about OKC, the only reason I'm not picking them is a lot of it depends on what Westbrook is going to decide to do this season as far as a facilitator. If he's going to, average triple doubles, just get a ton of rebounds and find guys all over the place for assists, that's a different story than Westbrook just deciding that he's going to put up 35 shots a game, channel his inner Kobe Bryant.
Right.
So if that's the case, then they're much easier to figure out as an opponent.
Yeah, they're a team I think we'll know a lot about them through 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so next one, last one. You'll notice that Golden State is missing.
I
Because
don't think there's much that needs to be said there.
what's the point? Right. So our last two teams, San Antonio or Utah, who's the worst matchup for the Clippers? Tougher than it appears.
No, it's not.
Is it not?
It's not.
Okay, who is it?
Utah is tougher.
Whoa,
There you
really?
go. There you go. Hot take machine
Woo
coming
woo
out.
woo! Heating it up. Okay, so
Yep.
explain yourself.
Utah is tougher. They have a more balanced roster. I think I tweeted this the other night when I was watching them in a preseason game. If you stripped all players of like their star identity and like you just didn't have the names and you described what kinds of players you want in a position for your team,
Yeah.
that kind of looks like Utah.
Yeah.
They're big at every position.
They are.
They have a pretty good balance of playmaking and shooting, rebounding, interior presence,
They've got some
rim
great and
protection.
got some great individual and team defenders. Sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. And they have Quinn Snyder did his residency, his fellowship with the Spurs, so they have a bit of a Spursian offense to them. They brought George Hill in, who was obviously a Pop favorite before he got shipped out to Indiana.
They've got
and
boys.
That was really the thing that was missing for the Jazz the past couple of years. Very consistent, steady point guard production, which you figure George Hill is going to solve immediately. And they still have Dante Exum just kind of figuring out how to be an NBA player in the wings. Like if he's able to develop on any kind of trajectory this season, that's just added benefit, added value for the team. San Antonio, it's going to sound like I'm a hater, but you know, for maybe 5 years ago, every year people were like, this is the year that the Spurs finally get old.
Right.
Like, the wheels are falling off. And then everyone got off that train because they made it to the finals and then they lost in a freak Ray Allen corner three. And then the following year, they like stormed back to the finals and defeated the LeBron James Heat. And they're like, oh, the Spurs are never going to die.
Right.
Well, I'm jumping on that wagon. I'm comfortable by myself. I'm saying that the Spurs, that's it for them. They'll still be very good. I'm sure they'll win like 55 games or something like that. But the level of attrition on that roster, Tim Duncan was not a integral part of the team's offense. He had reduced minutes last season.
Yeah,
but I personally still felt like, along with Kawhi Leonard, he anchored the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And with the loss of Duncan, with the loss of Boris Diaw, David West was just one of those good culture guys. And then the season before that, when they traded away Thiago Splitter, I feel like their defense is going to take a big step back.
Not in on Powell as a replacement?
Leaning on Powell as a replacement. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge has to be the guy for them now. I just don't think that you're going to see quite the same level of execution from the Spurs that we're so accustomed to seeing.
I'm most worried about Tony Parker.
Yeah, that too.
I'm most worried about him falling off a cliff, just because it seemed like it's been coming for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just no one that I think Parker can really capably guard anymore. He's not quick enough to get to the rim as well as he used to. So Parker is the guy that I'm most concerned about. And he's had plenty of injury problems in the past. The Spurs always find a way to keep it going in the regular season. But Tony Parker playing big minutes in the playoffs? I don't know. I'm not too crazy about that.
Even when Tony Parker is healthy going to the playoffs, it seems like it takes very little for him to get dinged up. And once he gets dinged up, like, the injuries start to snowball.
Mm-hmm.
And so, he almost has to be, they have to walk the perfect path in terms of health to be able to use Tony Parker to his fullest ability.
Right. And on the Utah side of things, that's probably the best bench in the league. Alec Burks isn't even playing yet. If they can get him back healthy as a bench scorer, Diaw coming off the bench. I mean, they're deep and scary. I'm still gonna side with San Antonio, though.
I mean, San Antonio does have Popovich, who is widely regarded as the best coach in basketball, arguably one of the best coaches of all time.
Right.
And so that's against pretty much anyone in the league, he's going to be a clear advantage. So it's tough to discount that, but. You know, coaches don't play on the court. The players play.
They don't. And the Clippers did just, you know, beat San Antonio pretty recently.
Right, and that was a very good San Antonio team. You're talking about two seasons ago, that right. seven-game series.
Yep.
Which, you know, if you ask people from the 2015 playoffs, what was the most memorable series of that playoffs?
That was the best series. Yeah, hands down.
A lot of people would say Clippers-Spurs round one turned out to be the best series.
Yeah. The reason I'm still going with San Antonio is just because Kawhi Leonard, what did the Clippers do with him? Right? I mean, I Blake and LaMarcus, I think they can pretty much wash each other out. I just have no idea what the Clippers do with Kawhi. They can throw him on Chris Paul. There's no one on the other end who can guard him. I think they would have a whole lot of trouble with him. And the Spurs just always kind of find ways to get it done. They probably got Dwayne Dedmon is probably going to be a superstar somehow. I mean, they just They just always find these guys and turn them into productive role players. You still got the chemistry with everybody. Manu's still there. He'll give you some good minutes. I can see them taking a step back. Certainly, I have a hard time seeing them fall off. My concern with Utah is the pace that they play with and their ability for guys to find their own shots. I like George Hill. I don't love George Hill as most people in basketball circles seem to. I get that he's a good defender. He's a good three-point shooter. He does a lot of nice things for you at point guard. He takes care of the ball. He cannot create his own shot.
And I'll say this. If Gordon Hayward does not come back comfortably from that finger issue that he had, what is it, dislocated finger?
Mm-hmm.
That really stains their ability to live up to the hype that everyone's talking about. Like, you know, Utah is the next big up and coming team, and they're gonna make some noise this year. It's the sexy pick from most analysts. Hayward is pretty integral in terms of their playmaking. He can get his own shot off.
Yeah.
So if he's not healthy, then that certainly tilts the factors.
I think they're going to be great. I think Utah's going to be great. I just think they're going to have stretches where they really struggle to score, where they really have, especially late in the game, 2 minutes left. I know it's kind of an overused thing, but who do you go to, right? If Gordon isn't healthy.
ISO Joe.
Yeah, ISO Joe, man. I feel like they're going to lean on that a lot more than people might think.
ISO Joe.
I like the roster. They're going to defend their asses off. We all know that. They're going to go through stretches where they struggle to score, I think.
You know what we're seeing here?
What?
We're seeing our levels of risk-taking played out in this basketball matchup you've presented.
What do you mean?
If you pick the Spurs in this scenario, then you're more a risk-averse, conservative individual. you want to see some evidence.
I do.
Let's put it all together. Let's cite your references. Let's put the bibliography in the back of the packet. And if you're going Jazz, then you say, well, you know, this clinical study was only performed on mice, but it's good enough. Let's just go straight to human testing.
That's so funny you say that, man. I've had multiple people tell me that I'm the most risk-averse person they've ever met.
Do you disagree?
No, I'm extremely risk-averse, especially when it comes to, like, my personal life choices and my when other people, I'm making choices for other people. I tend to just pick the safest possible option.
Well, now you can say that it's Spursian.
Yeah, it's Spursian.
Yeah, no one's gonna knock you for being Spursian.
Yeah, risk averse sounds kind of soft, but Spursian. Yeah.
It's classy.
Yeah.
You're a classy individual.
Thanks. All right, so that wraps that up. So, okay, so here's my question for you then, I guess. So you, other than Golden State, Utah is the worst possible playoff matchup for the Clippers. Is that correct?
Yes, I will say that.
And I'm saying other than Golden State, San Antonio is the worst possible matchup.
Right.
Would you have it ranked as worst matchups? Golden State, Utah, and then San Antonio? Or would you put Portland ahead of San Antonio?
No, I would have San Antonio over Portland.
Okay, so I think the same way. So it might be important for the Clippers to nab one of those top spots and not the 4 seed. They might need to get a 3 seed, right? Because if you get the 4 seed, you could end up playing a Utah or a San Antonio, potentially.
Or, you know what? It's about time that the Clippers just take the 2 seed.
Yeah.
I would say that the Clippers are frankly tired of this, so there's no reason for me to be like, I'm sick and tired of the Clippers starting their season poorly. I'm sure everyone is tired of the Clippers starting slow. Their roster is largely the same as it was last season. There's a lot of continuity. There's no reason for them to be sluggish out of the gates. And remember, was it Vinny Del Negro's final season? Where they came out just blazing out to a blazing fast start and had like 17 wins in a row at one point.
Oh, that was that December run, wasn't it?
Right, where they had just like, they did not lose for an entire month.
Yeah, that's right.
The Clippers need one of those kind of starts. They need to just punch the league in the mouth and really lock up a top two seed.
Yeah.
So that they can coast to the finish line and not really have to exert themselves to jockey for position between like the 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Avoid Golden State at all costs.
Avoid Golden State at all costs. You know, hope that Minnesota does not sneak into the 7 or 8 seed.
Right. Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. Okay, we're on the same page. Okay, so let's skip the 82 games. We'll see you in the playoffs. It's been decided. All right, we're going to wrap up the show. Andrew, thanks for coming on, my friend.
Well, thanks for having me.
Should I tell the people where to find your stuff?
Where can they find my stuff?
Like Twitter and ESPN.com?
Oh, yeah, why not? You can find me at ESPN.com. If you just go to www.espn.com.
Are there some backslashes in there? Oh, there it is.
Slash, yeah. Back, is it backslash?
Is it a backslash or a forward slash?
Back forward slash.
Okay.
Andrew Hahn.
Two slashes.
Slash www.
It seems, slash. This seems like not a thing anymore.
.com.
Okay.
And you can find me on Twitter at Andrew the Hahn. The is not my middle name, but there's a lot of Andrew Hahns.
I like that I just left you hanging there.
I don't know what else to say.
Like, I just left you in the breeze. Well, I thought there was like another follow-up thought coming. There's a lot of Andrew Hahns, and then you just stop talking.
Yeah, I guess the speech pattern, like the cadence, made it seem like I was gonna say something else.
It sure did. I need you to finish all of your sentences from now on with a Forrest Gump, and that's all I have to say about that.
And, well, that was all I had to say about that. Well, except for this one other thing. Please don't tweet at me about, like, how my opinions are terrible or something like that. Like, I'm aware when my opinions are good or not good. And if you think that they're not good, then maybe just assume that I'm joking. And that's the safe assumption. I mean, if you think they're good, then I'm not joking. Then I'm totally serious. And we'll get along great.
Yeah. I would say that's a pretty good way to approach Twitter for anyone. Just praise them for anything that works out, and anything that doesn't work out, they were just joking. It's a good strategy. All right. Thanks for coming on, Andrew. You can find him on Twitter at Andrew the Hahn. No, his middle name is not the. We will be back again tomorrow. Make sure you check out all the podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network. If you want to get a hold of me, I'm on Twitter at Fox Sports Foster. Again, we'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. Take it easy.